really surprised me as the founder of a company that sells to women is that Victoria's Secret didn't evolve at all. You know, at core to what they do in terms of marketing is their fashion show, which costs close to, I think, $20 to $30 million a year that they spend on producing the show. So an astronomical amount of money. And that show in itself really continues to perpetrate this like false ideal of what women should aspire to look like. And inherently, you know, at Third Love, we don't agree with it.
I'm your host, Michelle King, and you are listening to The Fix. It's a podcast that shares the stories of women and men who are innovating and taking action to advance equality in the workplace and beyond. Today, we have the pleasure of hearing from Heidi Zack, CEO and co-founder of the bra and underwear company Third Love. Heidi's going to be sharing her journey in building a truly inclusive brand that meets the needs of real women. On this episode, we're also going to be talking about Heidi's powerful open letter to Victoria's Secret and why she was compelled to address the company's body-shaming comments that discriminated against minority groups.
Going back about 6 or 7 years now at this point, I was still shopping at Victoria's Secret, which is something I had done for most of my adult life. And one moment in time, I walked out of a Victoria's Secret store and I thought to myself, you know, why am I still shopping here? The brand didn't resonate with me. The product quality wasn't high. I didn't really find a bra that fit. And I wondered why I was spending my money with a company like that. And I really felt like we women deserve an easier way and a better way to buy bras from a brand that we really respect.
And so Heidi took matters into her own hands. In 2013, she left her corporate job at Google to start Third Love. As a direct-to-consumer lingerie brand, Third Love's mission is to help women feel confident and comfortable. Apart from differentiating itself in the market, the company also made headlines in November last year when it published an open letter to Victoria's Secret in the New York Times. The letter was penned in response to comments made by Ed Ruzek, Chief Marketing Officer of Victoria's Secret's parent company, L Brands.
One of them was saying that what women want is a fantasy. What women want to watch is a 42-minute fantasy. And on a personal level, I just think that most women that I know, I think if they have 42 minutes of free time, are really thinking about how they can make the world a better place, how they can learn, how they can engage with their family or their friends or their kids, doing all of these things. And then the other thing is around transsexuals. So he basically said, you know, we would never show a transsexual in our show because it's a fantasy, right? You know, in addition, talked about plus size. And he said, oh, back in the year 2000, we tried to show a plus size model and no one liked it. So, you know, that's that, you know, given it was 18 years ago. So there was numerous other comments. But basically, I think what I read to be a real lack of respect for womankind, you know, at its core, and kind of making broad sweeping assumptions about what women want. And that's sort of broadly speaking. And then he talked a lot about personally my company, Third Love, and made just some really snide comments about us. And I think that it felt like it was the right moment for me to step up and tell him what I thought about what he said.
Part of Third Love's open letter reads, "You market to men and sell a male fantasy to women. But at Third Love, we think beyond, as you said, a 42-minute entertainment special. Your show may be a fantasy, but we live in reality. Our reality is that women wear bras in real life, and they go to work, they breastfeed children, they play sports, they care for ailing parents, and they serve their country. Haven't we moved beyond outdated ideas of femininity and gender roles? It's time to stop telling women what makes them sexy and let us decide. We're done with pretending that certain sizes don't exist or simply aren't important enough to serve. And please stop insisting that inclusivity is a trend."
What really surprised me as the founder of a company that sells to women is that Victoria's Secret didn't evolve at all. And I think that's really important because they could have evolved, right? So there's been a lot of change. Like I said, they are a multi-billion dollar corporation and they could have changed. They could have changed in many, many ways. But, you know, at core to what they do in terms of marketing is their fashion show, which you know, costs close to, I think, $20 to $30 million a year that they spend on producing the show. So an astronomical amount of money. And that show in itself really continues to perpetrate this like false ideal of what women should aspire to look like. And inherently, you know, at Third Love, we don't agree with it.
In recent years, we've witnessed big organizations miss the mark in addressing the evolving needs of customers. Because these legacy brands fail to adapt and innovate, startups, which are much more in touch with consumers, can compete and increase their market share.
I think what's very different today than 5 or 6 years ago are there are other places to shop. Between Third Love and, as you mentioned, other startups in the space, all of which focus on more inclusivity in a kind of a different method of talking to women, which is, you know, talking to women instead of men. I think there's been a lot of success in that and just created optionality for women to go other places. And you're certainly seeing that. And I know just from, you know, the comments that we heard and what I saw on my own personal Instagram, on Third Love's Instagram, so many women said, and you can go read it in the comments, like, I'll never buy from them again. That's it. It's done. Over is over. And, you know, that's not good for their business. And inherently, what's also not good for their business is he's still there. That guy is still there at the company running marketing. So I don't get it.
The controversial comments from Ed Razek in his Vogue interview demonstrate a clear lack of understanding about the needs real women have. Here, Heidi shares how Third Love identifies and works to meet the needs of everyday women.
One thing we do really well is we leverage both data, so quantitative data and business decisions, and qualitative data. Data doesn't lie, and data can inform business opportunities. So a good example of this is having extended sizes, going through a K-cup, going through a 46 band. Really through the data we collected in the early days, we understood that there was a very large percent of the market that we weren't serving and that we wanted to serve. Because one, all women deserve a comfortable bra. And two, being smart about business decisions, it's a big market. And also that customer tends to be underserved. And so I think what we've brought to the market with more extensive options for extended size customers is something truly differentiated. So that's point one. And then point two, on the qualitative side, we listen to our customers. And I know that sounds really basic, but I think the best companies that you see, they really understand what their customers are saying. They take it to heart and they act on it if it makes sense. Again, we have 5 different company values. I mean, I would say a lot of them are around the idea of making it happen, embracing change. Every day is a new day. A lot of things around sort of moving quickly, ownership, change, things that allow us to continue to scale and grow really quickly. But, you know, our 5th value, and we always say, and most importantly, is really putting customers first. And so it goes back to, I always say this to every teammate at Third Love, but if you're debating a decision and you don't know what to do, I think you kind of go back to that question, like, what's best for our customer? Is this the right message? Is this the right image? Is this the right experience for our customer? And I think having that at the core of our company is really important to delivering on that for our customers.
In April 2018, Third Love had its own wake-up call. Feedback from one customer prompted the company to better represent all women who buy their products.
We had a customer who wrote us in. Her name is Hope. She lives in Southern California. She wrote us an email, actually, and it got sent to me from our fit stylist team. And she attached a photo of herself in the 24/7 t-shirt bra. And she said, I'm Hope. I'm 50 years old. I love your 24/7 bra. I look and feel great. And I just got your catalog in the mail. And I was flipping through it. And not one person in here looked over the age of 30. And I think you need more diversity in your models and what you're showcasing. This is about a year ago. And we really took that to heart because we pulled the data. Again, going back to the data, we saw a large percent of our customers are over the age of 50. And we looked at our marketing, we looked at our models, and we weren't representing them. And not only that, but most companies, most brands don't represent that woman if you kind of look broadly at the landscape of advertising. And we thought we can do better. And we owe it to Hope and we owe it to every woman out there who's like her. And so actually Hope, we invited up to San Francisco. She did a shoot with us. We've used her imagery in catalogs and marketing and emails and all kinds of things. And from there, if you look at our To Each Her Own campaign and what we did there, there's a real diversity in size and ethnicity, but also in age. And this idea of representing women at every life stage has become incredibly important to who we are as a brand, because we're a brand who who's there for you from the time you're a teenager through your 20s, 30s, and more, and then over the age of 50 as well, and everything in between.
Here, Heidi shares what companies can do differently to market their products to everyday women.
So I don't think you have to start from scratch or rewrite your book or anything like that. I just think you can take initiative to evolve and change the conversation and change how you frame things. And even in the lens of Victoria's Secret, you know, they own the word sexy. That is who the brand is, right? If you think Victoria's Secret, you think sexy or sex, right? Like that kind of goes hand in hand. And I think the question is like, well, what does sexy mean in the year 2019? What does that mean? And how do you own it? Certainly the conversation can change. And so I think any legacy company can evolve kind of the core of who they are and how they portray it.
As the CEO of a highly successful company, Heidi thinks that getting comfortable with the uncomfortable is especially important when it comes to making decisions for your business.
Generally, I think working in a startup, you realize that you spend a lot of time doing things that you don't know how to do or that you haven't done before. And I think you have to recognize it's okay and you're going to make the best decisions you can. And it's okay to feel stressed about that. Like we all do that as part of our function. And especially if you're going to think about starting a business, most of what you do, you will not have done before. And the other thing too, is that I think you have to be confident enough that not everyone is going to agree with your decisions or your strategy, and you can't always make everyone happy all the time. And that was something I think that's been harder for me at a personal level, because it's just really hard to always be walking around being like, is everyone aligned with this? Like sometimes in order to move ahead, you just got to be like, hey, this is what we're doing, you know? And so I just think on average, that can sometimes be harder for women as well.
Finally, Heidi implores women to pay it forward and pave the way for future generations of women so that they too can grow and succeed in their careers.
Something that I've definitely focused on and that I'd urge other women to is how do we mentor and help the next generation of leaders grow? I think that's incredibly important, especially when you look at a universe where, at least in startup land, right, you know, only 3% of founders are still women. I mean, you look at CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, the statistics are similar. So when you look at women who are 10 to 15 years behind you personally, or whatever that is in your journey, how do we help others grow and develop and find the right roles and get those promotions and move up and learn and also feel confident that they can do that? And so I think that's something I just think about a lot. It's so important if we kind of want to change the dynamic in these numbers kind of in 10 to 20 years.
I really enjoyed this episode from Heidi. This week's fix is to think about the brands that you're supporting with your dollars. A lot of companies now are engaging in social impact marketing where they share what they believe in and value. Whether they live up to these values themselves is another thing altogether. But what it does mean is that you have the power to decide what you want to support, which is a great place to be in. At The Fix, we really want to practice this ourselves, which is why we want to give you the chance to win a $250 gift voucher from Third Love. All you have to do is follow our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or Podbean and leave a review. Anyone who does these two things between now and February 14th goes in the draw to win. Valentine's Day is coming up, so just a reminder to the men out there, this is a great gift. And for all the women out there, this is also a great opportunity to get some fantastic underwear. On today's Fairy God Boss Insights, we're going to be talking about ways to identify if your company truly supports diversity and inclusion. These days, more companies recognize that diversity and inclusion make workplaces healthier and more forward-thinking. In other words, a diverse and inclusive culture is not only beneficial for employees, but it's critical to a company's survival. More than ever, companies need to implement strategies that support an inclusive environment where people feel like they belong and can contribute to the company. So a few things to look out for. First, take a look at the executives in your organization. Are they from diverse backgrounds? Do they have diverse skills or experience? Or is the leadership all the same? Second, have a look at poor behaviors and how they tolerated or even encouraged. Do people feel safe to call out slights and microaggressions? You know, is it safe to speak up? Third, you should observe whether your company pays lip service to diversity and inclusion, or if it explicitly defines what these words actually mean and how they put them into practice. That's it for today's episode. And just a quick reminder before you go, if you haven't subscribed to my newsletter, The Fix, I urge you all to sign up. Each week, you'll receive exclusive insights from our episode, as well as practical tips and inspiring content on how we can all advance women in the workplace and beyond. Please also take a moment to rate and review our podcast from whichever platform you're listening from. Your support means so much to us. Have a great rest of the week, and I'll catch you all again on our next episode.